Hello, adventurers and friends. Welcome to the Min-Maxed Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us, and you do so as we continue the Extinction Curse. A recap of Session 18. We move to a room that has a nautical-themed mosaic floor and ceiling art. There's also a trident-wielding Gazran caster person. We roll very poorly, but eventually the fight goes in our favor. After which, a bunch of animals on a door pop out and tell us the door is locked because of corruption. We explore and find some bedrooms. Then, we find a kitchen and burst in looking for dinner.
You're not from the Hermitage!
False. I'm
Quasits.
In the Hermitage.
Attack!
Quasits, don't. I'm a friend of many Quasits. I've never killed one, ever. I think that's still true.
I don't know if that actually is. The
that's not true
Quasit.
Anymore.
Well, no, he's killed Mephits.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know about
right.
Quasits.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if you had a killing blow on any Quasits, but you've definitely killed a Mephit. I remember saying you've definitely killed a Mephit.
Now you have.
I speak in their Quasit language.
Abyssal?
No. Common.
Oh. I don't know if that's actually the language you're looking for there, buddy.
Druidic. Maybe one of them's a druid.
Hold on.
Bet the lady is.
Nope.
Is she?
What do you say something in druidic to her?
Be like, yeah, like, what's up? She's just fucking attacking me. How does she know I murdered everyone?
And she goes, hold up! She looks at you and cocks a head. She says, I don't understand you, but I know what you're speaking.
Yes, we're one and the same. I'm just trying to get the doors open.
The doors open? What?
The fish
doors?
Room.
The fish room?
With the manatee. The stingray, sorry.
No, never mind. I changed my mind. Attack!
What do you mean, change your mind? Don't attack! How does she not know about the fucking stingray?
No, I'm gonna. It's she knows it. She knows that you're not from here because you don't know the name of the room.
The manatee room. I mean,
this manatee room. Well, let's see. Did everybody get their initiatives down? It looks like it. And ooh, big numbers on Savatry leads the round of the 26.
How much more of this place do you guys think there is? Not asking Tyler, because that's too metagaming.
There's at least a few corridors. So I think there's still probably a fair amount, including a boss battle.
Conveniently, we have three beds.
Yeah. Wait, what? How's that convenient? There's four of you.
You think a freaking tree sleeps in a bed?
Good point.
We'll
actually, where the hell would
we'll
you
put
sleep?
Him in the bathtub.
Yeah, probably, probably go out on the cliff and hang out there.
Savatry will fire a crossbow, her crossbow at the Quasit that's right in front of her.
All right. There's going to be some buddies between you and the Quasit, so go ahead and make sure that's soft cover.
Lesser cover.
Sorry, lesser cover.
Hey, come on, Tyler.
Ooh.
28 to hit.
Shit, Savatry, that's a critical hit.
11 damage to the Quasit.
11 damage to Quasit number 2. The big hit for the Quasit. You hit it right in the chest, and it looks surprised and startled. Even stumbles back for a second.
I then reload and fire a second time. 21 to hit.
Yes, that is also a hit.
Two more damage.
You hit him in the arm, and he like looks down at it, all the cross bolts sticking out of him.
That's my
all
turn.
Right. And that's going to take us over to one of the Quasits. This is the one on the south side of the room. Uses its first action to kind of take flight and its second action to fly right up on Jebediah. He's going to go into the doorway and get in the way for Jebediah. And with its third action, make a claw attack against Jebediah. Absolutely misses with a 10, rolls a natural 1 on the dice, which takes us down to Jebediah. It's your turn.
All right. Well, I will sheath my torch. I'm sure I got a spot for it. And I'll smack this guy. 16.
16 does not hit.
8. Okay, done.
That's rough, buddy. Then after Jebediah, it's Kestrel's turn.
All right, so I will be trying to make an acrobatics through that guy's space to get behind him.
Ah, okay. Go ahead. It's going to be against his reflex DC, if I remember correctly.
Sure. Whatever you say. I'll just roll it and get a natural 20.
Nat 20. Go nuts.
I make it look badass.
Bet you do. You know, like a backwards handspring or something through his square.
Something cool. And then I will activate Flurry of Blows and make an attack on him. A couple attacks.
All right.
First attack, that's going to be to 28 to hit.
That's a critical hit.
I deal it 7 damage. I will then take my second attack. That is a 19 to hit.
That also hits.
I deal it an additional 5 damage. I will use my third action to cast shield, and then I also need a fortitude save
from
this quasit.
Nice. All right, the fortitude save. 19 on the die for 28.
He critically succeeds. I am done.
After Kestrel, it's the woman's turn. And she is holding that spoon, but at her belt is a big meat cleaver. And she grabs it and pulls it out, drops the spoon with her first action. And then with her second action, comes up right next to Kestrel, or right behind Kestrel here. She swings her cleaver at Kestrel. Gets a 23 to hit.
Barely.
Kestrel, it digs into your shoulder.
God damn it, if she would have had not flanking, she would have missed. God! I hate it.
Oh, boy. She deals you 4 points of damage with the cleaver. And it digs into your shoulder. She lets go of the cleaver, leaves it in your shoulder, and then walks up by the pantry where you see her trident and shield have been laid against the wall.
Moonlight! Moonlight! I've got a cleaver in my shoulder that you should probably use telekinetic projectile on.
Also, that's not how damage works.
I know it's not how damage works. I just thought it was a fun visual, David. Yeah, it is Moonlight's turn.
Oh, what's the best thing to do here?
I think you should pull the cleaver out of my shoulder with telekinetic projectile and throw it at one of these quasits, because it'd be hilarious.
I'm gonna hold. Right. I'm hoping for one thing to happen. We'll see if it happens on this next turn.
Let's see. The Quasit 3, which is the quasit on the far west end of the room, needs to get right next to Kestrel with his movement, his first movement, and then he's going to make a claw attack against Kestrel. Gets a 1 on the die. That's a miss. And makes a second claw attack for an 11, which is also a miss. All right. Then it's going to be Quasit number 2, which is the one that was hanging out by the benches on the south side of the room.
All right, hold up. I'm going to use my turn.
You're jumping in?
Yeah.
All right. Moonlight hops in.
Is what I want to do. I don't think I can actually see the square I want to put this in. I'm just going to kind of fuck me over. I want to do Sound Burst. It's a 10-foot burst.
Ah.
We'll give it a try. I am going to put it right in the bottom left corner of Quasit 3. Yeah, because I can't get all 4 of them.
Yeah, that'll get 3 of the 4, including the cook, and Kestrel is also in there as well.
Holy shit, they all failed. Except for Kestrel.
No, let me see. Oh, wow. Yeah, 13, 18. Kestrel gets a 24, 18 from the cook. Wow.
They needed a 19.
Oh, man, there's 2 18s? Jeez. Well done. Okay, and Is this the first time you've used Sound Burst, right?
No, I used it a couple times, actually.
Really?
In the fight against Jellico.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Was Kestrel really the only one to save on that?
Yep.
That's fucking sweet. I told you. Always attack Kestrel.
Always. Wow.
So okay. I deal 9 damage to each of them and 4 to Kestrel. And they're all deafened.
That was pretty cool.
I feel like Kestrel is just like too drunk and out of it to even like comprehend what just happened. He's like, did someone just ring a bell?
Yeah, like after the door animals came out and talked to me, I'm just kind of living in a haze right now. I don't know what's real and what's not.
I really like the thought of like it gets just like super quiet and then it just just this cacophony of sound all of a sudden.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
And then I'm going to cast Tentacular Limbs.
After Moonlight's interjection into the combat initiative there, we're going to come down to Quasit number two, who is yet to act, is going to be flying over to flank Kestrel with one of his Quasit friends. Kestrel, never mind. 11 does not hit.
No.
It's going to attack again. It swings at you with its claw. Oh, get a nat 20 on the die. Critical claw attack. You're going to take 9 points of damage.
Yeah, all right.
And you are going to need to give me a fortitude save.
All right. Natural 20.
That's easily a success. After that, we're going to go back to the top of the order of round two. Savatri, you're up.
Savatri, I'm trying to think of what I did last time. So I shot, reloaded, shot. So I have to reload, right?
Yeah.
So first action will be reload. Second action will be to shoot the Quasit number one that's in front of us. That's going to be a miss. And then reload for my third action.
Well, all those hot streaks have to end eventually, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else I could have really done.
And it's a little bit of an awkward position. You're stuck in the hallway in the back of the group. Don't really have enough space to actually move in.
I don't really want to waste my last heal spell right now.
Then that's going to take us over to Quasit number one, the one that first jumped up and got in Jebediah's face. First action Quasit's going to take is its abyssal healing ability. I believe we covered this a little bit last time you guys ran into Quasits. They can just heal 1d6 for a single action. This one heals 2 to itself. He flees in a different direction for now. He's going to fly off deeper, back deeper into the room.
Not deep enough to protect from the crossbow.
Nope. That's going to take us over to Jebediah. It's your turn.
Step up.
Jebediah chases that fleeing Quasit directly across the dining room. Oh.
Whoops. Okay, there we go. 20, and then I hit him for...
Yeah.
14.
Oh, yeah. As he's running, as the Quasit's flying away, Jebediah just chases it down and cuts him out of the air.
Turn my attention to the other one.
Holy 22. Shit.
22.
That's nice. A hit.
To the other side, 4 damage.
All right. Well, very successful. Quick round there. Kestrel, it's your turn.
Now I can't say I've never killed a Quasit.
Should just keep a running tally of things that you can't say that you've never killed anymore.
It's going to be a long list.
I am just going to activate Flurry and attack Quasit 2. Attack number 1, I get a 12 to hit. Attack number misses. 2, I roll a natural 1. I miss.
At least you can rock those saves, right?
Yep.
I guess I should make it so they can't flank me. So I'm going to take a guarded step to here, directly to my east, 5 feet, and then I will cast Shield.
Back towards the door there. Okay, I see you there. After Kestrel, it's the cook. She uses her first action to pick up the trident. She steps over to Kestrel and then swings with her trident. So pick up, step, swing. 21 to hit.
It will miss.
All right. Then after that, Quasit number 3. This one is still alive. First thing that Quasit's going to do is spend one action to drop its abyssal healing for 5 back to itself. Then it's going to claw attack Jebediah for a 26 to hit.
I've been striked.
Jeb, you take 4 points of damage and then give me a fortitude save.
14.
14 is a failure. You're going to take 4 points of poison damage, and you are slowed. Slowed 1. Now it's Moonlight's turn.
Okay, I think I am this time going to do the thing that Kestrel told me to do last round, and I'm going to grab that meat cleaver and fling it at the warrior.
Just right off my shoulder into her face.
We're going to get a 27 to hit.
Shit, yeah. Yes. That's a hit. That's a hit.
And we're going to call this slashing, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Not great damage. 8 damage.
8 points of damage. She'll take it. So wait, it comes out, then just like loops back around and stabs her again?
No, I think just like straight out of the shoulders, just boom, just right into the face.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a great visual.
And I will also 5 guarded step up.
Okay.
Or step, I guess it's just called step in this game.
And it's just step. Then after Swanee, it is now Quasit number 2. This guy's right next to Kestrel with the cook adjacent. He's feeling cocky. Let's get one of those abyssal healings in, because that's key for survival for them. Ooh, 6 back to himself. And then it's going to make a claw attack. It's 25 to hit.
25 hits.
Give me a fortitude save.
20.
20 saves. You took 2 points of damage from the claw attack. Savatri, top of round 3. It's your turn.
Going to go with the good old fire reload fire. So first shot, this is at the female warrior.
Okay.
First shot is a 15. Looks like that's going to be a miss. Reload, fire again. That's a nat 20.
Nice. Nat 20. God, you and that crossbow, man. All right, let's see it.
10 damage, and that's my turn.
We go over to Jebediah. It's your turn.
I will. That chick's almost dead, huh? Yeah, I'll move forward and just try to finish this chick off, I guess.
You are slowed, so you only have 2 actions this turn.
Oh, good thing I only need 1. 21?
21 hits. 11. Babe Ruth over here calling the shots. Yeah, Jebediah steps up and just cleaves into the cook, and she...
I said it's the goddamn stingray room.
Oh... All right, then after Jebediah, it's going to be Kestrel's turn. Kestrel.
We'll activate Flurry of Blows and attack the Quasit to my south.
All right.
Attack number 1. I get a 16 to hit it, which looks like it's a miss.
It is a miss.
Attack number 2. I do roll a nat 20, so that's a crit.
Yeah, it is.
Not that my crits deal much damage, but that's here okay. It is. I deal it 5 damage.
Okay.
Lay sigh. I will use my second action to simply just attempt to attack again and miss. And with my third action, I will cast shield. I can't deal damage, but I can get in the way and protect our casters.
That's true, and which is exactly what you're doing. All right, then after Kestrel, we're going over to Quasit that's next to Jebediah, who just saw Cookie Friend get taken down very quickly. Gonna spend his first action to drop that heal on himself for 3 back.
We can just do that every round.
Once per round. Nice. 1 action. Yeah. It's you know what? I actually missed it on the first Quasit.
I was gonna say, I don't remember him doing that before.
Ran, missed it. So yeah, claw attack to Jebediah. Not 1 on the dice, that ain't happening. And why not? Try again. 22. That hits, right?
Correct.
Hell yeah. Give me fortitude save. Ugh, 1 damage.
19.
And I believe that saves as well.
I tell the Quasit to stop.
Knock it off. Are you expecting it to listen?
Hell yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Murdered one of its friends and its cook. I tell it to go get me some herbs from the pantry. I'm the cook now.
Too many cooks.
Oh, man. You don't have quick courage or diplomacy, though, right?
Sure don't.
No. That's a job for Moonlight. Moonlight, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm, like, gonna basically, like, reach around this doorway with my extended limbs.
Oh, yeah, tentacular limbs.
And touch this Quasit that's around the corner a little bit.
Okay.
He does get a 23, so he succeeds against my save.
No, bad touch.
He only takes 4 damage. I think that's it. I'll stay here. Because like Kestrel said, he is a good door.
I forgot to have him give me his fortitude save.
Do you want me to do it now?
Yes.
I would love to. His worst save, 16.
He fails. He has stunned 1 this round.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a thing.
Well, it was his worst save, but he still got a 23 against me. So.
Yeah, true. Then with his first action, he's going to do the abyssal healing, definitely. And then with his second action, final action, he's going to claw Kestrel for 19 to hit.
No.
Which fails. Then that takes us to top of round four. Savatri, you're up.
Savatri will... She's kind of still stuck back in this hallway. Maybe get better position.
I mean, I tried to leave that space open so you can move through if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think she's going to drop the crossbow, pull out her whip, and move.
Sounds so dirty.
Move here. Oh, she's going to get dirty. She's placed herself between two quasits and between Jeb and Kestrel all on purpose. She's just surrounded.
I was going to say, she put herself in the ultimate flanking
and
position.
She just whips that whip out. And she's going to start trying to trip some quasits. So the first one I'm going to try for is quasit number 3. Yeah, I'll re-roll that. Right. Hero pointed up. Are you shitting me? That's wonderful. Yep. 15. I'm assuming that doesn't...
15 does not trip the quasit.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go for that again.
Do it.
For my third action.
And then, aren't you out of actions? Draw.
Draw the whip.
Is drawing not... You can't draw when you move anymore?
Oh, no.
Since when?
Really? Since 2E.
Yeah, since 2E.
I thought that was still a thing.
I thought that was still a thing, too.
Let's be fair. Swanee and Tyler versus Ted and David. Who's going to be right?
I think... See,
here's the thing. There's a quick draw.
I know quick draw allows you to make a strike when you draw a weapon.
While you draw it. I mean, quick draw is also a thing in 1E, so that's not necessarily it does not necessarily mean that it doesn't work. Yeah, because stride doesn't say anything about it. There isn't even a draw action. Is it just an interact action?
I was going to say, I think it's just an interact action. Check out interact, yeah, I bet you it'll say.
No, that's pretty basic. You use your hands to manipulate an object or terrain. You grab an unattended or stored object. Open a door or produce some similar effect.
There you go. That's pretty straightforward. And that takes us over to Jebediah. It's your turn.
Let's smack this guy above me. And again. And again. I'm done.
Whack. Jebediah misses 3 times.
All right. Kestrel will activate Flurry and attack the quasit to his south. This time I get a 23 to hit.
Hey, you got it.
I deal it 3 damage.
Okay.
Attack number 2. I get a 15 to hit, which is a miss.
It is.
With my second action, I will attack a third time. Just kind of crit fish. Not that time. Get a 9. I will cast shield, and also I would like a fortitude save from that quasit.
Quasit gets a 19 on the fortitude save.
A 19
save.
Will save.
Okay.
He is not stunned. I am done. That is my turn.
All right, then. Over on to Quasit 3, who is right next to Jebediah and Savatri. First things first, get that healing up. Just prolonging that fight. Look at that. I think... Yeah, there we go. Quasit's at full HP now. Claw attack against Jebediah. Oh, not one on the dice. And then once against Savatri... 15 misses. Well, there we go. That's the end of that quasit's turn. Moonlight, you're up.
Okay, I'm going to go for that meat cleaver on the ground again and throw it at quasit 2. I'm going to use my action or hero point because that's a 16. 22 to hit.
There it is. Hits. Yes, it does.
Come on, deeps. 11 damage.
There it is. Yeah, cleaver comes flying through the air and digs right into the base of the quasit's wings, and it falls.
And then I am going to move into the room.
Which brings us up to the top. Savatri, you're up.
Savatri will, I guess, just try to trip it again for her first action. 13, guessing that fails.
13 fails, but why do you have a -4 on there?
I don't know. Guessing that was on there from before, so it would have been 17.
17 still fails.
Okay.
And why glad did I wait. You ask?
Aren't you glad I wasted your time? You know, I didn't realize it until after I did the math again.
Does 18 fail?
It does on the trip.
third action, I should fucking cast shield.
Oh, good old standby. All right. That takes us down to Jebediah. You're up. Jeb!
Done.
Dude, what's happening?
Three attacks that are terrible.
Wow. 10, 9, and 8 for attacks. Wow, that's just horseshit, but...
Action 1. I move up and get north of Quasit 3 so I can flank it with Jeb. Action 2. I activate Flurry of Blows. I get a 26 to hit it.
That's critical hit.
Excellent. I deal it 11 damage.
That's a big hit.
Attack number 2. It is for me.
It is a big hit.
Attack number 2. Get 21 to hit it.
Ooh, you do it again.
I deal it 7 damage.
Wow, Kestrel.
And then I am awfully low on HP, so I'm not going to go too crazy. I will cast Shield, and that will be the end of my turn.
All right. Then the Quasit, startled and in sudden pain, turns around, does its little healing bit first, but then it's going to definitely attack Kestrel.
Oh, and I need a fucking fortitude save.
Oh, that's right. All right, let's do that. 19.
God damn it.
All right. That's right, one of these times, right? It happened once.
Happened once.
Quasit claw on Kestrel, 28 to hit.
Jesus. Yeah.
And then
he gets to roll a 19 on his attack.
Yep. 6 damage. And you'll need to give me, fortitude save.
I roll a 20, critical success.
Claw. 8 misses.
It does.
That takes us over to Moonlight. Your turn.
Okay. I'm going to use, my tentacular limbs. I'm going to use my first action to extend my reach to 20 feet instead of just 10.
Does that work for the round or until the duration runs out?
Just one round.
Okay.
Yeah, during the duration, whenever you use a cast a spell, you can add an additional action to that spell's casting to temporarily extend your reach to 20 feet to deliver that spell.
Cool.
So I'm going to do that with Chill Touch, hoping he'll roll shitty on his fortitude save.
All right, let's see.
I'm reaching across the table between Savatry and Jeb to grab this guy.
He gets a 17 on save.
So it is a failure. I was hoping for maybe a critical failure because it was poor save. But
I do really like the visual of the limbs going all the way across that 20-foot divide coming from Moonlight.
And that deals him 7 damage.
7 damage.
Shooting
He'll goals. Take it. But that's going to put us back to the top of the order with Savatry.
Why is this fucker still alive?
I don't know. Because Jeb can't roll for garbage, I think, is a real answer.
Try to trip it.
Hey! Nat 20, you know what that does.
Ah, deals it 1d6 damage.
Yeah, it does. Roll that d6.
1.
That's such garbage.
Second and third action, I just go pick up my crossbow.
Oh, okay. All right.
I rolled a 24.
Jeb, I'm sick of this.
Deal him 4 damage with
min
the
damage,
lowest.
But it's enough.
And it's enough to get.
You know what? I really wanted to give that one to Savatry, but that one on the D6 just was garbage.
All that shows is that this party is fucked without Jeb.
It kind of does.
Without Jeb's damage, we are just... I mean, we've got all the support. Jeb, this entire party supports you.
Oh, man. And you know what the best part is? You're a fucking druid.
I'm a fucking fighter with a cat.
You're a fighter with a cat and full casting
that I rarely
levels.
Use.
Man.
Hey, I had to take some stuff to be able to wield this thing. I mean, I guess I could just be wielding a greatsword, but...
I think it's a good build, man. And it's so funny how I consistently forget that you're a caster.
Yeah, then every once in a while I'm just like, heal.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to go check out that soup or stew or whatever she was cooking. Is it any good?
You want to try it?
Yeah.
It's definitely like a clam chowder.
Oh, sweet.
It is very good soup.
I eat this.
All right.
Your flex is you eat their soup?
You can't let it go to waste.
All right.
Hey, Jeb, you get 19 HP if we have 10 minutes to heal.
You do.
Jeb, you get 19 because I critically succeeded my medicine checks for you.
Well, that means I'm down one.
Say that again, David.
What time is it?
Time in game?
Yeah.
Ooh, scheisse. I knew I forgot something. Damn it. It
hasn't been an hour.
We wait 50 minutes and then I heal him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we could do like the hour thing, or we could even rest with those bedrooms.
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to take a nap and sleep.
Yeah, I don't think we're sleeping.
All right. I'll do a medicine check on myself.
I mean, we're going to have to spend like an hour.
Yeah, we're going to have to spend some time. I succeed.
Yeah, you're not looking too good. Jeb looks good now.
Did you take some deeps there, Kestrel?
I did.
How'd it feel to be the tank there?
I want to be the tank. I built this character to be the tank.
They just don't attack you.
Did it worry you at all?
Nah, I hadn't even used battle medicine yet. So are we going to be able to take an hour here, you think?
At this location?
I mean, realistically, we'll probably go back into the bedrooms.
I was going to say,
in the bedrooms.
If you go back in the bedrooms, that's very feasible. All right, that you would get the hour. Also, kind of depends on what you do with the bodies in here, too. But
because we're gonna hide all the Mephit blood and human blood.
I don't know, man. Prestidigitation is a crazy spell.
It's true. I do have that.
The thing to think of is that the metal tables have like dishes on them. Soup
we can assume
is almost done.
Yeah, some people are gonna be coming in here to eat.
Not if we don't ring the dinner bell. Come on.
But you ever walked in on the cook before the cooking is done?
Definitely, like, drag the bodies into one of the bedrooms that we're not going to use, and then go hang out in the other two and cast fucking treat wounds. And I'll use prestidigitation to clean up the fucking blood. I love it.
All right. So, okay, yeah, that absolutely works. And go ahead and drag the bodies into whichever one of the rooms you want. Are you going into the one that has, like, the lukewarm bathwater in it and everything?
No, I suppose that's the one we should avoid, actually.
Makes sense.
So, although it's probably the cook's, so it's probably fine. But, yeah, bodies go in one. The four of us will go hang out in the...
Well, I mean, the cook probably has their own room. These are guest rooms.
Think so? Maybe.
That's the way... Tyler kind of described it, I thought.
Oh, maybe I missed that.
Yeah, I don't like drawing conclusions for you necessarily, but yes, that is the case.
But I thought you had kind of said that.
Oh, I did say guest rooms, I bet.
That these seem like guest rooms.
It almost has that hotel feel.
Because then I made the comment that I don't think the mayor made it this far.
Yeah, that's true.
I think after looking at it, having more time to think about it, I think we should probably keep going. At least one more fight or something.
What time is it?
To give you an idea, you arrived at the Hermitage of the Blessed Lightning at about 4 p.m. So given then till now, could we safely say...
6 or 7?
Yeah, I would say 6 or 7, based on, you know, treat wounds and combats and exploration, etc.
Yeah, I'm fine with continuing on for a little bit. We got some heals left. Me and Swanee basically have all our spells left.
Yeah. Me too!
And... I don't think we've really used any battle medicines.
I haven't used any. I've saved all of mine.
All right, so it sounds like after regrouping a little bit, can I ask how that would sound RP-wise, please?
Depends on how
big. Hey, guys, I have all my spells. Let's continue onward.
Everyone stop being bitches. Let's go.
What's funny is Spencer says, hey, I have all my spells, like as if he's a fighter that doesn't have any spells. But he's a druid that has fucking spells. That would be one thing if Kestrel was like, hey guys, I have all my spells, let's keep going.
So the party, having decided that they're going to continue on.
Well, let's check this room that we never actually looked at.
Isn't that just a supplies room? Like, she ran there to go get some spices and shit.
Yeah, we never actually looked in there, though.
Upon inspection, that room is most certainly a pantry.
Anything look good? Anything out of the ordinary?
I wouldn't say out of the ordinary.
Any saffron?
No valuable spices.
Okay.
There's salt, farro, some other spices.
Some fenric leaves? Make some curry?
I don't have any specifics, but sure, why not?
Well, hell yeah.
There's sufficient goods in here to feed, looks like, simple rations for weeks.
I loot a bunch of it.
I could say you could put together
I'm just gonna take it back to the circus and give it to the circus for food.
I was gonna say, we could do any number of rations that you could physically carry. You could put together.
Is there some bread and cheese?
Store cheese in a dry food pantry?
I don't know.
I don't feel like you would.
Is there bread?
Bread. Yeah, there's bread.
I mean, it's like a cheese wheel that's like waxed, I think you can, but
I suppose it's the waxing of it, isn't it? Yeah, there's a couple of wax cheese wheels.
I have some bread and cheese right now.
Those things are heavy as fuck.
Yeah, I cut a piece off.
Oh, you just cut a chunk and then like, okay, I'll leave the rest of it here.
Yeah, exactly. Ruin the whole wheel.
I do not care.
You see me just rolling a wheel of cheese out of there. Taking this with us, guys.
That's how you start combat. You just roll a 40-pound wheel of cheese at him.
Tyler, I don't actually do that.
Oh, why not? That sounds like a great idea.
I feel like I need to clarify with you.
you really do.
We're joking about this.
Don't leave that out in the open for me, please.
I turn off the burners.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
I check this door for traps.
Moonlight also checks this door for traps. They get a 9.
I get a 12.
Party approaches the door in the western side of the kitchen. Puts their ears and branches up to the door, listens closely. You don't really hear anything. Seems quiet on the other side.
Moonlight backs off.
I attempt to open the door.
The door is not locked.
I open the door.
All right. You open this door, and it opens into a hallway where there's a light source right at the end of the short, you know, entry part of the hallway. It curves off to the right.
I make a stealth check and move up to where it curves off to the right and attempt to look around that corner.
Yeah, go ahead and give me that stealth roll.
On my stealth roll, I get a 17 to sneak up and look around the corner.
Kestrel, you pop your head over the corner and you see there's another light source down all the way down to the end of this hallway. It's a long hallway with lots and lots of doors.
Yeah, I turn back to my party and I say, I've got bad news. There's like 10 doors. It's going to take forever.
Go ahead and give me a perception check from where you're at as well.
Okay. 26.
Kestrel, you hear what sounds like quite the ruckus that's occurring further down the hallway behind one of these doors.
I hear a ruckus coming from somewhere down this hallway. I don't know exactly from where, but something's happening.
Like, arguing or what?
It sounds like maybe like crashing.
Like crashing. Things hitting the wall.
Let's go check it out.
All right, then.
I move up to door 1 on the left. Check it for traps. 16.
No traps on this door, but then the sound is definitely not coming from here. It's certainly from farther down the hallway.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'll do that. I'll keep moving down the hallway. Or do we not want to leave our flanks exposed to possible people coming out of these doors? Do we just want to check every one of them?
Oh, this is giving me some like chain lightning PTSD.
Everybody long, stay straight back. Hallway.
Okay. I consult with my party.
Do we want to check every door, or do we just want to go find where the ruckus is coming from?
Let's check every door.
All right, I open this door.
All right, that door is in fact open. This room is, it's a simple room. It's a small quarters. There's a small bed in the corner, a couple of, there's a writing desk in the corner, a few chests.
Well, I think I know where this is going. I open the next.
I don't know why I said that in character.
It's your chest, huh? We don't want to check chest. It could have valuable loots.
Later.
Or clothes.
Yeah, I think we just check them to make sure that there's nobody in them for now until we get to the door that is making noise.
Real quick, before we move much further, are you closing these doors? Or are you leaving them open?
I will open it, look to see what's in it, and then close the door.
Got it. The door to the right, which is the first door on the right, down this long hallway, is locked.
Ah, there's a locked one here. Moonlight,
pick it.
Wish to try and open it?
Moonlight can give it a try. I believe that's just thievery with some thieves' tools. I get a 25 to open it.
Nice. We're going with the pick a lock thievery skill,
which is
action.
Ludicrously complicated.
It is ludicrously complicated. You achieve one success towards opening that lock. You stick your pick in.
A quick save.
You hear a click. You got that tumbler in the up position, and you got your leverage bar at the bottom holding that tautness. You're going to need to try again. Do another one.
Can I tell how many there are?
If you kind of like rake your pick back and forth, you can feel that there are three tumblers here.
Oh, shit. I'm going to make three successful checks.
Feel like you got this, or you want me to give it a shot too? Because I have a slightly better thievery.
Moonlight's rolling right now.
Man, you're getting the rolls. You're on a roll.
I got a 22 on my second one.
You get that pick back there a little further, and you push that tumbler up in the back, and it sticks. You got the second one. You got one more to go.
I don't want to push my luck. I'm like, Savatri, I've got these two. You want to get the third one?
I don't want to be the one to fuck it up, man. Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I take over to try to finish it off.
Like, I'm sitting there with like my picks in there and just like...
I just imagine Moonlight picks locks with their twigs.
Their twigs.
So then are you using one of your branches as the leverage bar? Because you got to keep tension.
I suppose, probably.
That's what I assume. You just got your twigs stuck in there.
So you kind of just shuffle off to the side and giving Savatri space. Savatri, you get in there and... This one's a little finicky. You don't do anything. Nothing happens.
Of course.
But it doesn't reset, though, right?
It does not reset.
I give it another shot. I rolled the exact same thing for the listeners. It's a 19 for both of those. Yeah, hero point it.
Ooh, that was a 2.
What the 11? Fuck?
So three 11s and a 2.
Savatri's like going in there and like you push the pin all the way to the top and it just comes right back.
You're gonna have to do it.
You know
that just comes right back.
But like I'm not. I just can't seem to get this one.
Moonlight also gets a 19.
That last tumbler is a
like,
bitch.
I feel like we're just sitting there like I think I got it. I think I got it. I think. Ah, oh, damn it. You try. I think I got it.
Oh my
God. You have to be kidding me.
Not again.
I've gotten 5 19s on this last one.
Listen,
5.
There have been 5 official rolls. One of them was hero pointed. And all 5 rolls to attempt to get this single tumbler rolled 19 total.
I rolled 11 3 times. And Swanee just rolled 12 twice in a row.
This is stupid.
Oh, I don't know what else to do.
You guys,
well, try again.
You can still hear that ruckus coming from down the hallway from behind one of the doors.
Yeah.
You think it might be coming from the door to the right-hand side? Kestrel sees and notices.
Now I gotta use my hero point on a 10, which is what Ted had to use his hero point.
Dude, Fantasy Grounds is fucking rigged. It is rigged.
Moonlight, you break a pick.
Oh my God.
Does that set us back, or do we have to restart?
No, it doesn't reset. You still have 2 successes. On a critical failure, you just break the tool.
You want me to give it another shot since you just tried 3 times? We'll just keep doing 3 times.
Keep sure. Rolling 19s.
19s and 10s.
That is literally all we've rolled.
It's been insane.
Oh, I just got a 12.
Regular failure.
13.
Regular failure.
27.
Click. You got it.
I cannot believe getting the first 2 right away, and then that third one took us like 10 rolls.
You know what's interesting? Nobody said anything about it, but I imagine, Kestrel, what would you have been doing during that time, Jebediah? You?
What? Watching them struggle?
Yeah. Maybe chuckling a little bit.
A little bit of amusement.
I'd like to ask where the animals are right now.
I think that means combat's about to end.
Turtle doesn't like tight spaces, so.
Well, where are you guys at on the map?
She's definitely hanging out back here.
Yeah, I did leave the slurk back in the kitchen.
You did.
Because this is a narrow hallway, and again, metagaming a little bit. This is very prone to like lightning bolts.
5 foot wide, you have no choice. Somebody pops out a door and bzzap.
But anyways, what's in this door?
Well, as you open the door, this small cell looks like many of the others in the Hermitage, at least the 2 that you've opened so far. But it is remarkable for the bloody corpse that stretches across the small single bed. The figure, a human male, is dressed in the gray robes of the other hermits, but also wears a gold sash decorated with a badge depicting an open book. A stack of books sits on a small bedstand, and an imposing mural of Gazra that depicts the deity as a raging elemental looks down from the southern wall.
Do any of those books look like the one the priest described to us?
I'm assuming then that means you walk in and explore the room.
Which stand is the book? Are the books?
I know, it's not map-wise. It'd be the one at the foot of the bed.
Yeah, I mean, seeing at a quick glance, not seeing any... I'll do a perception check to make sure that there's nothing in the room that looks like it's going to jump out at me.
Yeah, me too.
Besides this corpse?
I get a 23.
I don't do that well.
So as you're kind of, you're glancing thoroughly through the room,
like stick my head in the door a little bit and just kind of look around, make sure that there's nothing.
I peek over moonlight and kind of look around too.
You see nothing that looks like it's going to jump up at you. You check the ceiling, everything, nothing. However, you do see the outline of what looks to be possibly a secret door on the northern wall.
Oh.
But
like under the light ball or to one of the sides?
Under the light ball, yes. Huh. And the there are the two books that you're looking for are the Manual of City Building and the Order of Numbers.
Sounds right.
They are at the foot of this bed.
Seriously?
Yes, they are. They are, it's hard to miss them. They are literally illuminating. They're illuminated holy books, so they have a golden glow.
How much do you think we can ransom them back to that priest of Abadar?
We'll find out when it comes to that.
Yeah. I go get them. I go into the room boldly.
Okay. First, nothing happens.
All right. I put them in a bag.
Was it just those two books or were there other books there?
I mean, he's got, yeah, he has some other books stacked here.
Man, I feel like we'll search the room.
Yeah, we'll search the room. But you said that there's a secret door, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, well, Moonlight would have pointed it out.
Okay. I will search that secret door for traps.
How very curious.
I get a 16.
Kestrel's checking the door.
I'll look it over too. 22.
You don't
traps
see that
and
it's...
Traps and how to even open it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not seeing any traps, but Kestrel, you can't really find the knob anywhere. Savatra, you see it's a small sliding indent on the door. So you're just going to slide it and it clicks open.
I push on it, and then before Moonlight can even stop me, I spit on it and blow on it.
I didn't tell you about it.
Why would Moonlight stop you?
or did you say Savatra was the one that saw that?
Savatra found it.
Oh, though. Savatra, before you can even stop me.
Before I even tell you, I'm not even going to tell you about it. You can spit and blow on that door all you want, man.
It worked on the last one.
It's my special spit and blow technique. And once I know we have searched the room thoroughly, I am going to stealthily use that. But I'm going to make Kestrel think it's me spitting and blowing on the door that opens it.
Okay, so would that be against my perception DC?
I believe so.
If you're going to go straight up deception, or is it like thievery? For the
sleight of hand? I'm doing stealth. That's stealthily perfect. Trying to do it.
You know what? I would say that it would be thievery, actually.
Thievery?
Yeah, because that's sleight of hand if I've ever heard it.
It's still plus 8 for me, so oh, yeah. 18.
And my perception would be... DC is 17.
Yes! You think me spitting and blowing on that door worked?
You always did have the magic touch for blowing and spitting.
No one's going to touch that?
Spencer just looks upset.
Jebediah stands in the hallway and sighs.
Moonlight wants to look at this gold sash on the dead guy.
Yeah, did we find anything else in the room? I did state that I was doing that after we searched the room.
You did, yeah. And I would say while this whole spit and blow fiasco is occurring on the northern wall,
nice.
Moonlight...
Fiasco! That was an outrageous success.
Sorry. Perception, really. Moonlight, you find on the body of the dead hermit two keys.
Like, just look like regular keys?
Well, one of the keys looks like just a standard key. Nothing special about it. You know, it doesn't have anything fancy. The other key is like a blackened iron, and one half of it is like a storm cloud, and the other half of it is a whirlpool. like at the part where you grab on. I don't know what that's called. The head of the key.
Head sounds fine. I'll kind of look at it and like, well, I've learned enough about Gazra to assume this is Gazran, but I don't know what it goes to. I'll show Savatri and Kestrel, knowing that they are a little more religious than I am.
I guess I'll make a religion check on it.
I would say Swanee nailed it on the head. You've seen enough, like Gazran iconography that you can just, you're being drenched in it.
Well, let's just hold on to it, I suppose. Use it whenever necessary. Wait a minute. Moonlight, do you have any pockets?
Well, I have a bag. I also have lots of branches to hang stuff on. I just like hang the key on a branch, like sticking out of my side.
I love it.
Like one that like curls a little bit so it doesn't just like fall, it like doesn't easily fall off, but.
Yeah, for sure. You could definitely fix it. We'll say that's just like sticking it in a belt pouch. That's perfect. Except for it's visible, obviously.
Let's see if that freaks anybody out as we go through this place. What do you have that key for?
So as you kind of open up, Kestrel goes to open the door.
Well, real quick, did that gold sash, like, tell us anything? Like, I mean, that we haven't seen that before.
Like, no, you haven't.
Does it mean, like, he's a higher ranking member in this cult or whatever? Or in this hermitage?
Yeah, let's say you make a society check for that.
Well, I hold that up and be like, what's this? I get a 16, untrained.
It's pretty
minus
good.
One.
You actually would think that this really kind of holds theme of like what librarian. It definitely the books that are here, the wounds that he sustained.
He's like the sage or something like that of the
Yeah. He would be your keeper of the books, it would seem. Nerd. As you're kind of looking over the body, you do see that the wounds here are grievous.
General Grievous.
The wounds look oddly familiar, though.
Is there a check someone can do to try to figure out what caused them?
I would say anybody trained or
medicine.
Yeah, anybody trained in medicine would be able to make a check like that.
Making it 26.
Kestrel, there's not really any doubt in your mind. These are the same types of wounds that the Abrakondalu demons left.
That was the
the one that hated the mirrors.
The one that hated the mirrors. Yeah, I point that out.
Why would there be a dead one guy from one of those here? That seems odd.
But there's blood all through the room, right? Like, there wasn't just blood on the corpse. It's everywhere. So he wasn't, like, killed by the Abrakondalu demon in town and then brought here. He was clearly killed here.
Interesting. You look at the blood in the room, and with your medicine check, you kind of have a little forensic scientist moment in your brain. It looks as though that the wounds were sustained outside of this room, and when he came into this room and leaned against the door for a little while and locked it, and then kind of crawled over to his bed. It almost looks like drag marks or smear marks, but you see
he was arm movement. He was at the chapel, stole the books or ran off with the books during the fight or something, made it here, and then died.
How strange. So does that mean the druids and the demons aren't allies? I thought the two had to do with each other. Perhaps they do not. Or perhaps they do, but not in the way I was thinking. Somewhere in the muddled alcoholic brain of Kestrel, all these synapses start moving into position.
I wonder what a drunk synapse firing sounds like.
Here's the thing. Never be as drunk as you think you are. That's Kestrel's motto.
Right. Well.
Which is saying, he acts more drunk than he ever actually is.
Whoa.
Normally.
Well then. Secrets. 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 Secrets.
Secrets. I got a secret.
I got a secret door, and I go in it.
I was going to say, can we get back to the secret door? Because
time to go to the door.
Yeah, that whole opening the door moment was great. And when that door opens, you're not allowed to look around and move anymore. Everybody find where you were on the map when the secret door opened. the secret door slides open, and you see into this absolute scene of chaos. This looks like it was a library at one point, and it must have been magnificent. Tall wooden bookcases line the room's walls, but many have been pulled over, spilling books of all types and sizes all over the carpeted floor. Statuary busts decorate a few cases that remain standing, but others have toppled and shattered. Shredded paper and torn parchment cover the ground. Tables where hermits must have studied ancient lore once are flipped on their sides or upside down, their legs broken off. Archways to the north and south lead to reading rooms that have so far been spared from the damage to the library. And you find yourselves entering into the southern reading room through that secret door. And inside of the room, wreaking havoc and just tearing books to pieces and slamming things around, breaking furniture, are two Abracondalus.
I'm not interested in any statutory busts. I don't need to be on that list. I was waiting for him to finish the whole damn thing to make that joke.
I said statutory, didn't I?
No, you said statuary.
I did. Okay, god damn it.
I said statutory.
Okay, good. You guys make me doubt myself so often now. I'm going to go ahead and reveal the Abracondralus. I'm going to just refresh the party with the image of the Abracondralu.
Yep, still hideous.
Yep.
Still has mirror shards sticking out of it.
You're all going to get a
plus. Is
this
a Krampus?
They look like Krampus, don't they?
Initiative, I assume?
Initiatives, yeah. Yeah, definitely initiative.
Mild cliffhanger!
Would that make it like a cliff sitter? Or would that mean that you're hanging from something much lower than a cliff?
Playground Jungle Gym Hanger! Thank you to you friends, adventurers, and low hangers who join us here on the... Wait, what? Who join us here on the Min-Maxed Podcast as we play Extinction Curse. Over the last few months, we've seen this silly little podcast that we five friends decided to try continue to grow and introduce us to many awesome people. And we just want to give everyone listening a big thanks for coming along on these adventures. It means a lot to us. And we want to bring you even more adventures. If you feel so inclined, check out our Patreon, join our Discord, we'd love to hear from you. Join us again next week as we continue the Extinction Curse. And until then, may you have many great adventures of your own.
It's your turn.